Thank you very much. Wow. We love you, and we love you. We all love you, and I especially love you. And it's great to be back in Council Bluffs, and it's great to be back in Iowa, the proud home of first in the nation caucuses. And you know who kept you first in the nation, don't you? When they wanted to move you, I said, there's no way we're moving. So that was the end of that. That subject did not last very long. As president, I strongly protected Iowa's first in the nation status in the Republican Party. And with me in the White House, Iowa will be the first in, this is going to be the first in many, many years. We're going to do things that have never been seen before. Our country is going to hell, and we're going to take our country back. I want to thank What's happening to our country is horrible. I don't think we've ever been in a situation like this. We have potential world wars. We have weaponry the likes of which nobody's ever seen before. You don't want to see it. You don't want to think about it. And we have a man in the White House that has no clue what the hell is happening. I want to thank Iowa Senate President Pro Tem Brad Zahn. Thank you, Brad, very much. Thank you. Attorney General, thank you, Brett. Attorney General Matt Whitaker, great guy. Thank you, Matt. Senior Advisor Representative Bobby Kaufman. Thank you, Bobby. There's Bobby. He's doing a great job. State Senators Lynn Evans, Sherilyn Westrick, and Dan Dawson. Thank you all very much. Thank you very much. Iowa Representative Heather Hora and Brad Sherman. Brad, I just want to pay respects to Brad and family. Last time I was here, I was with the whole family, and Brad's daughter passed away very suddenly, shortly thereafter. And a very special family, very special man, and she's looking down on you right now, Brad, and she's very proud of you. So I just want to pay my respects. Thank you, Brad, very much. Sheriff Andy Brown. He's central casting, this guy, I'm telling you. So where is he? He's a big, strong guy. That's it. Central casting with a beautiful family. Thank you, Brad. Thank you very much, Sheriff. Dallas County Republican Chairwoman Kelly Koch. Nebraska. I love Nebraska, too. We love Nebraska. That's a big contingent. I said backstage, I hope Nebraska is represented here. I guess they're represented. Great, great state. We won it twice. We won the primaries. We won the elections. It's just great. Well, we won it all. Thank you very much. Thank you, Nebraska. Nebraska National Committee Woman Franchon Blythe. Thank you. Thank you, Franchon. And Nebraska GOP Chair Eric Underwood. Good guy. Good man. Thank you, Eric. Great job. Great job, Eric. For 7 years, all of us have been fighting side by side to rescue our country from sinister forces who hate it and want to destroy it. You've been watching along with me. We're all watching together. And most of us can't even we don't have any clue what the hell they're doing and why they're doing it. We don't even have a clue, but it doesn't matter. That's what they want to do. And now we are approaching the most important battle of our lives. This January, we're going to win the Iowa caucuses in a historic victory. And on Election Day 2024, we're going to win the state of Iowa and Nebraska. You know, I'm doing a Nebraska event, too, so we'll get you. But it's nice that so many of you are here. And we're going to evict a very crooked president, Joe Biden, from the White House. You know, I took the name away from Hillary. I don't like using names twice. Crooked Hillary. Now I call her Beautiful Hillary because I wanted to use it for Joe Biden because it's so appropriate for Joe Biden. He's taken money from any country that wants to deal. And we're going to make America great again. Today, I want to talk about how we're going to fight. And I think nobody, no president has ever come close to me for farmers, for fighting for farmers and farmers' rights. And we're thrilled to announce the launch of Farmers for Trump, led by Representative Mike Sexton, farmer and chairman. He's a farmer and chairman of the House Agriculture Committee and a great guy. And I want to thank him. Representative Derek Wolf, farmer and vice chairman of the House Agriculture Committee. Great people. Representative Heather Hora, farmer and member of the House Agriculture Committee. And the Honorable David Kerr, farmer and former Iowa representative, and Jeremy Davis, former senior official at the U.S. Department of Agriculture. These are incredible people, and they take care of their farmers, and they know your business almost as well as you know it. I also want to thank some great Iowans, and they've come here and they've joined us for our panel discussion earlier. It was great. Starlin Perdue, Justin Schultz with the Renewable Fuels Association, John Tarks, a fifth-generation farmer and seed dealer. Good money in seed, I guess, John. Good money. More important, good product. It better work or we're gonna have a lot of problems. I'm proud to be the most pro-farmer president that you've ever had in the White House. We did more for American agriculture than any administration in history by far, and that's been pretty much acknowledged. It's been nobody disputing it. Under my leadership, our Department of Agriculture cut 7 old regulations for every 1 new regulation, saving farmers and taxpayers hundreds of millions of dollars a year. We cut, as you know, regulations at a level that nobody's ever seen before. Cut more regulations, generally speaking, beyond the farms, cut more than any president in history by about 5 times. I repealed Barack Hussein Obama's. Have you ever heard of him? Ridiculous. Waters of the United States rule. You know what that is? That sounds so beautiful. Waters of the United States. It basically, they were taking your property away from you. That's what it was. I said, I'm going to get killed when I do that one. And I had people come to the White House. We had a news conference and farmers and builders, developers, housing specialists. And these are grown men and women, in many cases women, and most of them were crying. They basically were taking away your property. It was terrible. That it had a nice name, but it was a horrible thing that they did. And it was a truly outrageous federal power grab over every ditch and over every puddle on a private land. And this is, you'd have a little puddle, a little water on your land, and they'd call it a regulated lake. And you couldn't get anywhere near it. It was horrible what they were doing. To protect family farms, I eliminated the unfair estate tax or death tax so that if and when you want to give away your farm to your children, and it's your time and you're going up to heaven, but you want to take care of your children, you don't have an estate tax to pay. That's nice. Now, I will tell you, if you don't like your child, then it's not going to help you too much. Who cares, right? Is there anybody that doesn't like their child? In which case, I just could save a few words. But most of you love your children, right? So, you know what was happening? You'd leave your farm to your children, and then the estate tax would be so great they'd have to go out to your local friendly banker who became unfriendly when you didn't pay the interest. And a lot of times they'd lose the farm. They worked hard, but they'd lose the farm. We ended that. And now you can leave your farm to those you love, and you don't have the estate tax. That's a tremendous saving. So thank you very much. And we gave a giant tax cut to family farms that operate as pass-through entities. You know what that is? Which produce more than 90% of agricultural products in the United States. Tremendous tax cut. I ended the disaster known as NAFTA, the worst trade deal ever made in the history of our country. And replaced it with the USMCA, that's Mexico-Canada, the best trade deal ever made. A gigantic victory for the American farmer. The USMCA pried open Canada's dairy, poultry, and egg markets for American producers. Now, you know what I'm saying, because I used to come here in Nebraska and other places, and they'd say, oh, it's so bad what Canada does to us, what Canada. You know, Canada sounds so lovely, but they really ripped off our farmers and really ripped off our country. The deal was so good, the deal that we just made, USMCA, that in fact, right now, Canada and Mexico are meeting at the White House because they want to renegotiate the deal with the Biden administration, and I say, don't do it. You had to live with that horrible NAFTA deal. Now you have USMCA where you're making a lot of money, and they want to renegotiate it. So that's always a good sign when they want to renegotiate. The thing is, you don't want to renegotiate. I stood up to China like no administration has ever done before, bringing hundreds of billions of dollars pouring into our treasury from China, and when no other president had gotten 10 cents from China, that not one other president before me got anything from China except ripped off. Our country was being ripped off. And when China targeted our farmers, you know about this very well because you were targeted at a level that nobody had ever seen before. I gave those same farmers $28 billion straight out of the tariffs that I was taking from China. I went to our Secretary of Agriculture, Sonny Perdue. I said, Sonny, how much damage has China done to our farmers? I said, you got to come back with a number. He came back. He said, it's about $28 billion. I said, well, we're going to give the farmers $28 billion right out of the pockets of China. You haven't heard those things, you know, because the fake news doesn't like talking about them. Look at all those. They don't like talking about them. In fact, when we were talking, you know, the polls are fantastic of us in Nebraska and Iowa and the farm states. The polls are fantastic, but I said, I shouldn't have said it because it was a little bit aggressive, but a few months ago when we were talking about, do you think he'll win Iowa? I said, how the hell can he not? I gave the farmers $28 billion. How the hell do you lose? So I shouldn't have said that probably, but nobody objected because they, you know, when they opened up their mail one day and they got these massive checks, I did everything. I actually wanted to sign those checks, but people said it wouldn't be appropriate, so I didn't sign them. But you know where they came from. They came from me. There was no other president that was going to be doing that. And we got plenty more to do. I got Japan to slash or eliminate tariffs on over 90% of U.S. food and agricultural exports. You know, it was very unfair. France, what they did to the European Union, what they do to us, it's unbelievable. Not as bad, quite as bad as some of the countries like China, but it's horrible. The European Union was terrible. I dealt with Japan with Abe. Do you know Abe? He was a great man. He was a great man. He was fairly recently assassinated. But we had a tremendous relationship. He was great. He's going to be missed. But we were able to redo the deal with Japan so that they take your farm product. They weren't taking it. And it was great. But the European Union agreed to nearly triple its beef imports and opened its markets to American soybeans and other things that you people grow so beautifully. And we opened it up. But, you know, it's a one-way street. We defend them and we then get ripped off on trade. You know, that was the story. Let's defend them and let's also get ripped off on trade. But we were in the process of really stopping that and stopping it in a very big way. I also won our farmers gigantic concessions from South Korea, Argentina, Brazil, Guatemala, Tunisia, Ecuador, Morocco, and many other countries, all of whom were ripping us off and ripping off our farmers and our manufacturers at levels never seen before. In total, I successfully negotiated and renegotiated more than 50 agreements to boost farm exports by billions and billions of dollars, supporting millions of American jobs and supporting our farm industry. And I like to say, and very strongly and proudly, that I fought for Iowa ethanol like no president in history. and ethanol, period, like no president. I issued a rule declaring that E15 would be made available all year round. Remember, it was 8 months. Remember that? And then they came to me and they said, I don't think you'll be able to do this, sir. I said, why not? It didn't make sense. 8 months. And we made it all year round. In addition, I dramatically increased the number of fueling stations where E15 could be sold across the country by letting them use existing pumps. You know, we thought it was all done, and they came to me, sir, they're not allowed to use the existing pumps. They have to go buy all new pumps. That was millions and millions and millions of dollars. I said, what's the difference? Well, actually, the old pumps are better. Okay? I said, do you mean you have to replace them with new pumps? And I said, you don't have to replace them with new pumps any longer. It was a big thing. As a candidate, I made big promises to Iowa, to Nebraska. And as your president, I kept every single one of those promises and actually did much more than I said we were going to do. Much more. And I can tell you that no president has ever fought harder for our farmers than I did. By contrast, Ron DeSanctimonious, have you ever heard of him? He was losing badly. I endorsed him and he ended up winning. He was losing. He was so low. He was lower than anybody. I said, Ron, let me tell you, if George Washington came back from the dead and he had the support of Abraham Lincoln, you can't get elected. He said, sir, if you endorse me, sir, I'm telling you, I can win. And, you know, he fought a little bit along with 200 other people, frankly, but he fought a little bit for when they did impeachment hoax number one and impeachment hoax number two, total hoaxes. And so I figured, what the heck? The one that was winning, Adam Putnam, was the head of agriculture in Florida, and he had it made. He was leading by so much that he was already measuring the carpets in his beautiful new office that he was planning to move to. But Ron was losing badly. And I said, all right, let's give it a shot, Ron. I don't know if you can make this. This is a big one. He was so far behind. Because you know why? Because he was a lousy candidate. And I endorsed him, and he became like a rocket ship. And he ended up getting the nomination. Then I held a few rallies for him because he was not going to beat the man that he was running against, who at the time was said to be the hottest guy in the Democrat Party. And Ron said, no, I won't be able to beat him. Oh, you'll beat him. And I did three rallies where we had massive crowds. I wish we had a rally today. By the way, there are thousands of people outside, can't get in. Great job. But this was really a gathering of farmers, largely farmers. So we wanted to do this a little bit differently. But we have thousands of people, and we're going to come back. We're going to do some really big rallies over the next month and a half. So here and in Nebraska. But so he ended up winning. And then they said to him, they shouted, anyone, look, some people I help, some people I get in. This guy, I got in. He was dead. He was dead as a doornail. And I like loyalty, you know, a little loyalty. So three years later, they say, will you run against the president? He said, I have no comment. I said, whoa, no comment. That means he's running. That's what that means. And since then, he became Ron DeSanctimonious to me. And he would be a total disaster. First of all, he's got no personality. You probably found that out because his polls are crashing. He's got no personality. But he would be a catastrophe for the farmers of Nebraska and Iowa and every place else, any place else. I think if a lot of other people also. DeSantis, as I call him, the abbreviation, is a globalist sellout. And Paul Ryan and Karl Rove, acolyte, who's in the pocket of Wall Street donors at the Club for No Growth. Did you ever hear of the Club for No Growth? You know what they call them also? The Club for China Growth. They are the worst. I was with them for a while. We were 61-0. And then we had arguments over a couple of candidates that I liked. And my candidates won. They don't like me too much. Club for No Growth. They're more concerned with China than they are with our country. They would outsource every American farming job to a foreign country. This is what Ron DeSanctimonious wants to do, and it would be a horrendous situation for this state and for neighboring states. DeSantis opposed my China tariffs, the ones where I gave you $28 billion, by the way, and that was just a small portion of what we took in. We took in hundreds of billions of dollars from China. Do you think they like me? Not too much. Very simply, DeSantis sided with the communists in China. I sided with the farmers in America. Does that sound good? That's good. I'm going to use that again. I like that, right? No, I've always been with the farmers. I was with them right from the beginning. That includes ethanol. Every Iowan also needs to know that Ron DeSantis totally despises Iowa ethanol and ethanol generally. He's been fighting for years. Don't forget, he was a congressman, and he was voting against it and fighting for years to kill every single job supported by this very important industry. Ending the renewable fuel standard was one of his top priorities as a member of Congress. He wanted to end it. And if he had his way, the entire economy of Iowa would absolutely collapse, because it would collapse if you did that. DeSantis slandered the ethanol mandate as, quote, socialism. He called it socialism and called his vicious plan to annihilate the Iowa farming industry as a total no-brainer. Now he's going to come on here and probably say, I'm actually quite in favor of ethanol. I think it's wonderful. You know, one thing about a politician, I learned this long before I ran for office. When they have their initial thoughts, that's what they go back to. So he may have to come in and he may have to say, I love ethanol. Isn't it wonderful? But he's what he's done to ethanol has been very bad. And the people in the ethanol industry understand that he's bad news. In Florida, DeSantis is famous for his cruel targeting of family farms, not in favor of the farms. In a callous betrayal of farmers, DeSantis recently vetoed over $130 million in farm subsidies, prompting the Florida Agricultural Commissioner to state in total disbelief, this is no conceivable, and there is no conceivable reason to target agriculture in a year when we have billions and dollars and billions of reserves. Agriculture was harmed today by the governor of Florida and harmed very badly. And it's true. And he's going to do that to Iowa and Nebraska and everybody else, because that's his inclination. If you want to defend American farmers and grow more farm products in the USA, then you should vote for a very fine gentleman named Donald J. Trump. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. By the way, when we're finished, we'll take a few questions, okay? And I'll tell you that now so that this way you can think of some really vicious questions to ask me. You know, if you wait till the end, nobody's ready for it. You just say any questions and you leave. But we'll take a few questions. With your support, we will put farmers first. We will put Iowa first. And above all, we will put America first. Under Joe Biden, it has been a nonstop war on American agriculture. You know that better than anybody. Just weeks ago, the Biden EPA slashed ethanol blending levels by hundreds of millions of gallons. Did you know that? Yes. He's trying to raise taxes on farms, reinstate the death penalty, the death tax. He wants to reinstate the death tax, the one I just told you about, when you want to leave your farm to your incredible families. And he wants to reinstate that tax in its entirety. And fertilizer prices are now almost 300% higher than they were just a short time ago. People can't get it. They can't get it. On top of it all, with the insane Green New Deal, Joe Biden is trying to totally kill Iowa ethanol and replace it with expensive electric cars. This is what the people want. Electric cars. Everybody wants to drive for an hour and then run out of energy. I'll tell you the only good thing about it. And look, I think it's great. If you want to buy an electric car, good. But if you want to buy a car that happens to be run for something that we have more of than anybody in the world, liquid gold underneath, it's gasoline. If you'd like to, you know, drive for 7 hours without having to stop for 9 hours, go forever practically. But you have to be able to have a choice. You know, if you want an electric car, yeah, you should have an electric car. We're all for it. But if you want another type of car. If you want hybrids, you got to be able to buy. They want to go all electric. In California, they don't call them brownouts anymore. They call them blackouts. The whole state doesn't have any electricity, and now they want to go to all electric cars. These people are insane. They're trying to destroy our country. The only industry that's in love with that all electric cars, you know what it is? The tow truck industry. Because after driving for 49 minutes and your car is stopped in the middle of nowhere, who do you call? Could you get me a tow truck? Where the hell do I get this car recharged? No, if you want electric, that's great. And if you want gasoline, that's great. Combustion. But it's so crazy what they're doing to our country. That's the least of it. How about the open borders? People coming in by the hundreds of hundreds of thousands of people a day coming in. Terrorists, people from jails, people from mental institutions, insane asylum, which is a step above a mental institution. Within hours of my inauguration, I will cancel every Biden policy that is brutalizing our farmers and our country. I will end the Biden assault on ethanol. I will end and stop Biden's inflation nightmare. This is an inflation nightmare. And when you think about it, what did he do? He has energy going through the roof. Energy is all-encompassing. It's big. And you couldn't get it. We were energy independent just a short time ago. We were soon going to be energy dominant. We were going to supply energy all over the world. We were going to take care of Europe. So they didn't have to buy. You know, I was the one that stopped the pipeline from Russia to Germany. I stopped it. Then they say, oh, he's so soft on Russia. I was the worst thing that ever happened. Putin would even say to me, he said, you know, they always say yourself, you're the worst thing that ever happened to us. But we got along. You know, it's nice to get along with people. But, you know, he would have never gone into Ukraine. You know that, right? He would never have gone. Or as Biden would say, he would have never gone into Iraq. Do you saw that? He would never have gone into Iraq. Then a little bit later in the day, he said again, he got killed. And then later on, he said, we have to stop. We have to stop Russia from fighting with Iraq. Now, let me tell you, the gloves are off with these guys. Because these guys, there's something wrong with them. We will bring down interest rates and appoint a special team to attack the high price of fertilizer and other farm products, which is happening again because of energy. Drill, baby, drill. That's what we're going to do. We're going to drill, baby, drill. Drill, baby, drill. We have more than any other liquid gold. We have more than any other country in the world. Nobody has even close. We have more than Saudi Arabia, more than Russia. We were so beautiful. We're so energy independent. We're soon going to be making a fortune with the energy, a fortune, and we're going to pay off debt. We're going to get those trillions of dollars paid off. We're going to lower taxes even further. I gave you the biggest tax cuts in history, but we're going to go further. I will terminate Biden's atrocious electric car mandates and rapidly restore American energy independence and energy dominance with Iowa ethanol and ethanol generally. Right at the center of the action, we're going to be using ethanol and everything else. We will get the prices so low. Remember, we had you down to $1.87. We actually had you down to $1.50 a gallon, but they were all going to go out of business. We had to get it up. I said, let's get it up a little bit. But then after that, we saw it go up to $5, $6, $7, $8, $9. And now it's still very, very high. And the economy is lousy. But when the economy gets better. It's hard to get better when you have high energy prices. But if and when it gets better, under these people, it'll never get better. It'll only get worse. They're looking to destroy our country. But we'll get the prices way down, and then we'll get the interest rates down, and then the home builders are going to start to build again because they've stopped because nobody can get money from a bank. Nobody can borrow money because the interest rates are so high. We won't just increase ethanol production in our country. We'll make it our mission to export the ethanol, which I told all of your dealers and all of the people, thousands and thousands of jobs in your state. We're going to go all over the world. I'm going to allow that to go all over the world, and it'll be a great market. To knock down barriers for American farm products, I will pass the Trump Reciprocal Trade Act. I was all set to get it done. And then we had a thing called the China virus come in. Has anyone heard of the China virus? If India or China or any one of many countries, which is what they were doing to us, hits us with a 100% or a 200% tariff or tax, we will hit them with exactly the same tariff or tax right back. So that if India, which I have a great relationship with Modi, like him, but they're very tough traders, and they, as an example, if a Harley Davidson sold into India, they charge them almost 200% tax. You know what they say? We don't want them. Come in, build a plant in India, and sell them in India, no tax. And that's what we're doing, and that's what I was doing. We don't want your product. We want you to build your factory here, or we want you to build your factory in the United States. It's so basic. But I'll tell other countries where we spend billions and billions of dollars on military protection. We protect these countries. They wouldn't even exist if it wasn't for us. That if they do not give preferential treatment to our farmers and to our manufacturers, the troops are going to pack up and they're going to come home. We got a lot of people we protect. I mean, I had it. I'd have a lot of meetings with the heads of country, a number of them in particular, but one, and really, we were spending billions and billions of dollars protecting them. I said, where do you buy your military equipment? I knew the answer. Well, I'd rather not really discuss that. No, where do you buy it from? I mean, we give you all this money. We buy a lot from China. We buy a lot from Russia. We buy very little from the United States. I said, why are we giving you billions of dollars? And he couldn't answer the question. It's not answerable. You know why? Because the people that ran this country are stupid people. That's why. They're stupid. And for the purposes of national security, I will ban Communist China from buying up American farmland and other critical infrastructure in the United States. Have to do it. You have to do it. And China will be just fine. They'll be fine. They'll be fine. It's no wonder the swamp is getting truly desperate as they see us leading very big in the polls. They're getting crazy. Well, that's why every time I get a subpoena, you know, my polls go up, I get more and more subpoenas. Report to a grand jury. He's killing Biden. He's killing them all. That's what it is. These are crooked people. Never happened in our country. Called weaponization of the Department of Justice and the FBI. We've never had anything like this. And it's all bullshit, too. It's all stuff. That's why my polls go up. I'm the only person ever got indicted who became more popular. Because people understand it. They read it. They see it. It's all contrived, horrible stuff. Just horrible what they've done to this country. In the New Premise poll, we are at 59%, and Ron DeSanctimonious is at 21% and falling. In the new Fox poll, we're beating DeSantis by 34 points among Republicans and 50 points among young voters. 50. Thank you, young voters. In the very respected McLaughlin poll of Iowa, this is the Iowa poll just came out. A man named Trump is at 51%, and a man named DeSantis is at 19%. You know, it's funny. I saw them doing an interview, sort of a straight interview, and they were saying, so his name is DeSantis, but nobody calls him that anymore because it's like they get confused. There are so many names. So we're getting ready to interview Ron DeSantis, and they're screaming, no, it's DeSantis. I've changed a lot of we've changed a lot of lives with those nicknames, haven't we? Eh? They follow people right to the grave. They follow them. In Ohio, we're ahead by 44 points, just came out against Ron DeSantis. And the new Tennessee poll, I love Tennessee. You know, we have every congressman and woman. We have The two senators, everybody in Tennessee with the endorsements. The Tennessee poll, we're up by 49 points. When asked who's the best to improve the economy, they go Trump almost 60%, DeSantis 18%. And in New Hampshire, a poll just came out, Trump 55%, DeSantis 11%. In South Carolina, you saw we had almost 80,000 people last weekend, and it was 102 degrees out. It was hot. Who else could stand up for an hour and a half, mostly without teleprompters? Because, you know, if you read the teleprompter, it gets very boring for people, you know? If you read the teleprompter, they all of a sudden you notice people starting to leave. There's nobody leaving in this group. In fact, I want to thank the fire marshal. You guys worked unbelievable just to get as many people. A lot of people outside can't get in, but I want to thank them. But in South Carolina this last weekend, we had close to 80,000 people, and it was just about 100 degrees out. And people kept saying, you know, when is he going to grab the water after an hour and a half? You try and not do it, but there's nothing wrong with doing it. Probably I should do it. But in South Carolina, it's 59-12. And in Nevada, 65-10. Would you say that's good? And we're also leading, very importantly, Biden by a lot. This week's Echelon poll, very respected, of swing states, we're up by 7 points over Biden, 48-41. And we're up by 11 points in two other polls and 10 points in another poll. And it doesn't sound like much because, look, here you have a president who's grossly incompetent, who doesn't know where the hell he is. He can't even leave a stage. Like, when I leave here, I really know I'm going to say hello to these people and then I'm going to walk down a stair. I might even say hello to the front row, you know, maybe. But it's not that complicated. But this guy's always... Where the hell am I? And, you know, I will tell you, the people that he's dealing with, President Xi of China, Kim Jong-un, North Korea, if you look at France, Macron, these are all people at the top of their game. These are smart, smart people, tough people. They're at the top of their game. We have a man who doesn't have a clue, and he's in charge of potential nuclear war, which will annihilate the whole planet. And we can't let it go. People smile and they laugh and they think it's funny that he doesn't know where he is. And he doesn't know. And he didn't know where he was 25 years ago either, by the way. This was not one of the smart ones. This was not one of the smart ones. I asked, you know, I got along very well with Ted Kennedy. Never told the story. This is the first, this is for Nebraska, not for Iowa. But I had a good relationship. I said, who's the smartest person? This 25, 30 years ago, I got along because of Palm Beach and stuff. I did him a big favor, actually, Ted Kennedy. And not in my sphere in terms of politics, but that's okay. You know, that can happen, too. I get along with a lot. I have a lot of great relationships, like in President of Mexico. He's a socialist, but we have a great relationship. He did a lot of good favors for us. We had the safest border in history. But with Ted Kennedy, so... I said, who's the smartest senator? Who's the smartest one in the Senate? Years ago. And he gave me a name. I won't say that because it's actually a person I didn't like very much. So I don't want to give him. I said, who's the dumbest in the Senate? He goes, let's see, probably Joe. I said, Joe who? Joe Biden. He's the dumbest in the Senate. Now, that was by Ted Kennedy. Now, they'll go crazy. They'll say, oh, that's terrible. But he said this, and this was prime time. This wasn't now. And by the way, he's not old. He's off. There's a difference, because I know people that are 90 years old that are sharp as a tack. In fact, some of them are smarter than they were 20 years before. It's not age. It's there's something wrong. But he was never... And if you look at his foreign policy decisions, they were horrible over years. And his own people were saying that. He doesn't make right decisions. But now he's incapable of... In my opinion, he's incapable of running. And I hate to say it because, you know, I'm not sure that he's going to be able to make it to the gate. But I guess I'd rather have him than somebody that actually is intelligent, right? So I hurt myself when I tell you these stories, in a way. Although I wouldn't mind running against Kamala. I wouldn't mind. But these incredible poll numbers are the primary reason that crooked Joe Biden has weaponized law enforcement and ordered his top political opponent, me, right in the middle of the election, because we're right now in the middle of a big deal, ordered me arrested right here, right at this time. It never happened before. He's doing well. We have to arrest him. These people are sick. And this is a continuation of the greatest witch hunt of all times, which was when we came down the escalator, the beautiful golden escalator. And it's all about a thing called election interference. This is a new way of cheating, not really new over the centuries. You know, things like this have happened, but they've never happened in our country to the extent they have. They rigged the presidential election of 2020, and we're not going to allow them to rig the presidential election of 2024. And then on top of everything else, a highly respected federal judge, you just read it, issued a ruling this week that detailed substantial evidence of government involvement in social media censorship with the FBI, the DOJ, would tell the people heading up social media what to do. Don't say anything good about Trump, and don't say anything bad about Biden. And you know, the pollsters, John McLaughlin, Fabrizio, good pollster, great pollsters, they said it could have made a 17-point difference, like the laptop from hell, when they had 51 intelligence, quote, intelligence people say, that was Russia disinformation. The little girl sitting on his lap, that was created by Russia. It's a terrible thing. It's right. It's really right what he's saying back there. It's right. They are traitors. They're traitors. They're traitors to our country. Traitors to our country. It's further proof that in addition to everything else, the 2020 election was rigged. And because of that, our country is going to hell. We had the strongest borders in history. We were doing great. We had no inflation. Everything was going beautifully. Never forget, our enemies want to stop us because we are the only ones that can stop them. We can stop them. We are stopping them. If the corrupt persecutions of our people succeed, they will complete their takeover of this country and destroy your way of life forever. And there's probably no coming back. There's probably no coming back. This is the most important election we've ever had, 2024. They want to take away my freedom because I will never let them take away your freedom. Thank you. They want to silence me because I will never let them silence you. Remember this, if I weren't leading in the polls by so much, they wouldn't be indicting me. If I were not running, they wouldn't be indicting me. I'd have a beautiful, I'd stay at one of those nice places that I have, and I'd enjoy my life. But it would drive me crazy because I'd watch our country go to hell, and I can't do that. I just can't do that. But they wouldn't be doing it. And then they have the disinformation campaign. Oh, no, the one we want to run. Every poll is showing we're killing Biden, right? We want to run against Trump. It's disinformation. Misinformation, and there is a slight difference, not enough to talk about. Misinformation campaign, disinformation campaign. That's the thing they're good at. We want to run against Trump. I watched these guys, even Fox said, and that nice guy, Britt Hume. Well, you know, the Democrats say that they want to run against Trump. Well, that's very demeaning to me because, you know, they're not supposed to be. But they don't mean that. That's why they're looking at me every process. If I fly over a Democrat state, a blue state, I get a notice, we want you to report to a grand jury. We got to keep this. If they wanted to run against me, they wouldn't have me under federal indictment. Okay? They wouldn't have me. But I'm doing this for you, and we're going to win, and we're going to turn our country around. Because in the end, they're not after me. They're after you, and I just happen to be standing in the way. That's true. True. And I promise you this. If you put me back in the White House and Iowa, Nebraska, your very important states, their reign will be over and America will be a free nation once again. We're not a free nation. We don't have free press. We have a crooked press. We have a corrupt media. No, think of it. They have absolute proof that Biden's being paid off by China, Ukraine, and many other countries. And the press doesn't even write about it. That would have been 10 years ago. That would have been the biggest story in history. It's 100 times bigger than Watergate. That would have been the biggest. And they don't even put it on the news. They don't. You look. If there's anything, you know, they feel guilty because they have the biggest story in history. And they are cowards. They're corrupt. Or maybe they're afraid. I don't know. But they, if you see something, it's always way in the back, a little tight. This way they say, well, no, we discuss. A man, we have a president of the United States who's a stone-cold, corrupt thief. And who's willing to arrest his opponent, who's leading him substantially in the polls. And then they go out and they say, oh, no, well, we really want to run against him. If they want to run against me, they wouldn't be indicting me. They'd say, I hope this guy goes and say, make it nice and smooth. No, because we're leading by a lot, and we're going to win because we have no choice. If we don't win this election, we're not going to have a country. We're not going to have a country. There's going to be nothing left, and we can't let that happen. Just think of what we have already achieved in our four incredible years. We delivered the largest tax cuts and regulatory cuts in the history. These are the biggest cuts in the history of our country. And likewise, we built the greatest economy in the history of the world. We had it going just before COVID came in. Nobody had ever seen numbers. African American, Asian American, Hispanic American, women, men, people with diplomas, people without diplomas, people number one at MIT, and people that could barely get a job before, everybody was working and everybody was happy. And even very, very far left people were coming up to me and saying, let's get together. The country was coming together. It was amazing. And then we had COVID. We had to go through a different thing. And then even then we handed over. We did an amazing job, got not nearly enough credit for the job we did. We were making ventilators for all the nations of the world. Within about 3 months, we were all geared up and took car plants and changed them into ventilator plants. It was, nobody's ever seen anything like it. And we gave you a stock market that was higher than just before COVID came in. I mean, think of it. And then it's a series of horrible mistakes. They closed down our energy industry, essentially. They want wind. They want wind. Everything's fine. They want wind. They want all sorts of things. They want the Green New Deal. You know who came up with the Green New Deal? A poor student who has a good line of bullshit, who came up and said, she said, the Green New Deal. Nobody knew what the hell she was talking about. It's mostly fake stuff. And we're spending trillions and trillions of dollars of ruining our country. The oceans will rise over the next 3 years by 1/8 of an inch. But they're not worried about a country that's 600 miles away that's loaded up with nuclear weapons. That's not a risk. But the oceans rising over the next 300 years, that's a risk. Creates more beachfront property, actually. That's the way you have to view it. So we have people that are just, what they're doing is so horrible. What's so horrible? And I'm a big environmentalist. I am truly an environmentalist. I want clean air. I want clean water. I want great fuel standards. I want great everything. But they're destroying our country. And if you look at China, they're building coal plants all over China. While we look at hoping the wind blows, okay? hoping it does. Darling, darling, I'd like to watch our president on television tonight. I'm sorry. We have no energy. The wind isn't blowing. We created the most secure border in U.S. history, built nearly 500 miles of border wall, got Mexico to give us 28,000 soldiers free of charge. Thank you. And then we negotiated remain in Mexico with Mexico. You think that was easy? Mr. President, we want to have everybody remain in Mexico. You think he said, oh, that would be lovely? No. Because these are rough people that were coming into our country and are coming in at numbers that nobody will believe. I believe the real number by the end of the year could be 15 million people. You don't hear that number. That's bigger than New York State. Ended the ridiculous catch and release program. That's where you catch somebody and release them into our country and tell them to come back in 4 years for a trial. Nobody ever comes back. And deported illegal alien gang members. We deported by the tens of thousands, MS-13 and gang members into their country. And you know, their countries wouldn't take them before I came in. And you might have heard it. The country would say, because when I said, get these people out of our country, they said, we can't do that because their countries won't take them back. Guatemala, El Salvador, Mexico to an extent, other countries, many other countries, they wouldn't take them back. You know, why should they? They dump them in here and they don't want to take them back. So with the four countries, our neighbors, I said, how much money do we pay them a year? $700 million, sir. I say, call them and tell them they are no longer getting $700 million. They wouldn't take them back. In other words, we'd fly a plane load full of gang members. How would you like to be the pilot of that particular plane? That wouldn't be a lot of fun. You know, you're flying, you're looking back. Because these are seriously bad people, these people. These are not good people. But they wouldn't take the planes. They would put planes on the runway so we couldn't land. They wouldn't let the buses in. They wouldn't let the boats in, which send them by the water. Pacific would send them by water, would send them through the Gulf. They wouldn't take the boats. They'd turn them away. So I say, well, that's terrible. But they're the ones that sent them here. They wanted them to come. They put them in these caravans. I think I came up with that name, where thousands of people would come in. And you had many, many people that were gang members and prisoners, people in mental institutions, as I said. So I said, inform the countries that we're not paying anymore as of effective immediately. And they would say, no, we have no. One of the generals said, sir, they will not take them. I said, why? Well, they just won't, sir. They don't want them back. I said, but I want them to go back. So I said, inform them. $700 million, which is peanuts compared to what we give to other countries that rip us off, actually worse. So I said, here's the story. If they should call, let me know when. So this was in an afternoon. The following morning, I think it was a Friday morning, I get a call from all three countries in particular, from all three countries, almost at the same time, but separate calls. Mr. President, I understand you're upset with us. Please, we don't want to do that. I said, well, you're not taking back the people that you happen to send into our country. They're terrorists. They're bad people. You can handle them better than we can. You have to take them back. Sir, we would be honored to take them back. I had no idea there was a problem. Please send them back. These generals couldn't believe it. All of a sudden, we're sending thousands of people out of our country back to these countries from where they came. This went on for years during the Obama administration, for years, and Bush. But this went on for years during previous administrations. They wouldn't take them back. I wouldn't take them back if I were them either. Look, these are streetwise people. These leaders are tough and they're smart and they're mean and they think we're stupid. You know, they think the United States is this country that's run by really stupid people. They want to be politically correct, but it's not politically correct. They're dumb. And I did it in one phone call. I did it with Macron in France because, you know, this he wanted to put on a tax on all American companies doing business in France. And I gave it to our Secretary of the Treasury. I said, Steve, go and negotiate something very strong, because it's really, they can't let this happen. They're going to tax only American companies very substantially. And they came back. And anyway, bottom line, after a couple of weeks, they couldn't make a deal. They come back again. I said, I got one more week and then I'll take care of it. Couldn't make a deal. I call them up. I say, Emmanuel, how are you? Oh, I am so fine. Beautiful accent. I love their accent. I could never imitate that beautiful French accent. Oh, I am so happy to speak to you, Mr. President. It's such a great honor. Now, Emmanuel, let me ask you. I hear you're taxing. You want to pass, and it's going along very fast, and pretty soon you're going to be taxing all American countries doing business in France. Is that a correct statement? Oh, yes, it has passed, and thank you for calling. Thank you so much. I said, no, you don't understand. We're not going to let you do that. No, 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 it is too late to do anything about it. I said, here's the story, Emmanuel. If you don't terminate that immediately, like I mean today, we are going to tax all of your wine and champagne that comes into the United States. We are going to put a tariff on it of 100%. No, 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 you can't do that. No. I said, well, maybe I can't, but I have the document here, and I've already signed it. This goes into effect at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning. All wine and champagne coming in from France is taxed at 100%. We're putting a tariff on. I said, so you have 15 minutes to let me know what you want to do. No, no, no. I will call you back. Calls me back in about 3 minutes. President, we have decided that in order to have a fine relationship with the United States, we will not be putting any tax on American businesses, right? Meaning jobs. A lot of these people I was saving, I don't even like them. They're not even very good people, but I got to do what's right for the country, right? But you can do a lot of that. I did many, many, many of those things with a phone call. We appointed nearly 300 federal judges and three great Supreme Court justices. Look what's been happening over the last week. They rule great on policy, but they always rule badly on me. Give your tax returns. Nobody had to give tax. Give your tax return. By the way, you see, I gave it, and everyone said, oh, that's that. That was the end of that. Probably should have given it a little easier, but they shouldn't be allowed to look at your tax. They're not allowed to do it anywhere else. But they rule against me, but they rule good policy-wise, very good policy-wise. And last week, they ruled to move our country forward with a merit-based system of education. How about that? If you work hard and you get great marks, get great boards, you get great everything, you get into a college. And somebody that had much lesser achievement doesn't get into that college, perhaps. Maybe they have to work harder or whatever. The Supreme Court also ruled that President Biden is not allowed to wipe out hundreds of billions of dollars and probably trillions of dollars of student loan debt, which would have been very unfair to the millions of people who have paid their debt through hard work and diligence over many years, right? They also gave a very big victory, as you know, to religious liberty. It was a tremendous win for religious liberty that people were very impressed with. Not to mention the fact, this is 51 years, that they ruled against Roe v. Wade, giving pro-lifers a tremendous power to negotiate. And moving this issue back to the states, where for many decades, legal scholars and many others always felt it should be. But remember, that issue has to be spoken about properly, because Republicans, many of them don't speak about it properly. The Democrats are the radicals. Because the Democrats are willing to kill a baby after 5 months, 6 months, 7 months, 8 months, 9 months, and even after birth. They're the radicals. Like President Ronald Reagan, I support the three exceptions for rape, incest, and the life of the mother. Other people don't. I do. But now people that believe in life will be able to stop the radical left Democrats from killing babies, and they'll be able to — they have power. For the first time, pro-lifers have power to negotiate something that will be very good. You now have power. You had no power at all. They did whatever they wanted to do. And they are the radical ones, not the pro-lifers. They're not. And it has to be spoken about properly. But what you have now is an ability to negotiate something. Before, you had no ability whatsoever. Remember the governor of Virginia, former governor, where he said, the baby is born, and after the baby is born, you sit down with the mother and you make a determination as to whether or not you will terminate that baby's life. This is a baby that's born. This is not in the ninth month. This is a baby that's born. And now you have a tremendous power to negotiate. But the Republicans don't know how to talk about the issue. They don't know how to talk. I think they're afraid to talk about it, and they don't know how to talk about it. This was a great victory for life. This was a great victory for humanity. But it's really a great victory to get something done. You now have tremendous power to negotiate something. And they, remember this, they are the radicals, not the pro-lifers. They tried to make the pro-lifers a radical. No, no. When they're willing to go into 8, 9, 10 months after birth, they have laws that pass actually saying it's okay after birth. They are the radical ones. And this is an issue, if properly spoken about, it's because nobody wants to see that after a period of time, many people right from the beginning, but nobody wants to see after 4 months, 5 months, 6 months, death, termination. Nobody wants to see it. They're the radicals. Remember that. They're the radicals, not the pro-lifers. And now you have the power to negotiate, and good things are going to come about it. And you moved it back to the states where all the legal scholars said it should be. And 51 years they tried to do that. I got it done. I fully rebuilt the U.S. military, created Space Force, defeated 100% of ISIS, and brought our troops back home. I was the first president in decades who didn't start a war. But all of that was only just the beginning. And here's some of the agenda, a very strong agenda that I'll immediately implement when we become, because it's really we, the 47th president of the United States. I will totally obliterate the deep state. We will get rid of it. We were doing a good job. We will get rid of it. Before I even arrive at the Oval Office, shortly after I win the presidency, I will have the horrible war between Russia and Ukraine settled. Somebody said, are you on Russia's side? Are you on Ukraine's side? You know what the side I'm? I want people to stop dying. That's the side I'm on. I did that with that crazy person who did the CNN town hall. Did anybody see the CNN town hall? It's one of the largest ratings they've ever had. And they fired the head of CNN because of it. The world is a little topsy-turvy. I'll get that done within 24 hours. Everyone says, oh, no, you can. Absolutely, I can. Absolutely, I can. I'm the only candidate who can make this promise to you. I will prevent World War III. And that's where you're headed. You're headed to World War III. And unlike Ron DeSanctimonious, who voted to gut Medicare and gut Social Security, he voted 3 times, and they think it was 6 times, to gut Social Security. Think of that. And voted 3 times to raise the retirement age of Social Security to 70, which is a big raise. I will always protect Medicare and Social Security for our great seniors. We're going to protect them. And you know how you can believe that? Because for 4 years I protected it. And there was a lot of pressure. 4 years I protected it. And the same thing with Russia and the same thing with China. They said, well, how do we know he stopped? Because for 4 years you never saw any sign that Putin wanted to go into Ukraine. I knew he did. But I told them, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. It's going to be so bad for you if you do it. And, you know, I told him some tough things. And he didn't believe me, but he believed me 10%. That's all you need. Same thing with President Xi of China. Don't go into Taiwan. Don't do it. Don't go into Taiwan. It'll be horrible if you do it. Horrible for China if you do it. And he believed me enough, like 3%. That's all he needed. But now as soon as I'm out, there's bad things happening in Taiwan. And the Russia-Ukraine situation could not have been worse. Hundreds of thousands, I believe millions of people. I think the numbers are far greater than they're reporting. Millions of people are dead. Cities are obliterated. Cities that were beautiful cities with beautiful thousand-year-old buildings that you can never replace, gold domes. These beautiful cities are obliterated. And then they'll say two people were hurt and three people were killed. No, no. Hundreds and even thousands of people were killed in those attacks. It's a horrible thing. I'll get it done within 24 hours. To stop the Marxist prosecutors who release rapists and murderers while persecuting conservatives, Republicans, I will direct a completely overhauled DOJ to investigate every radical DA and AG in America for their illegal racist in reverse enforcement of the law. I will do that. And as the horrific riots in France have proven, we must also redouble our efforts to ensure that anyone who comes to America shares our values and assimilates into our culture. We don't want people coming into our country that hate us. We want people that love us. Look at what's going on in France. Who would have thought? I predicted it, actually. That was one of our other. Do you ever see those signs? It's an honor. It's an honor, but that Trump was right about everything. They make Trump. A lot of it's common sense, isn't it? You know, is he a conservative? No, I'm a person with common sense. I have great common sense. And we, most of the people in this room have common sense. As an example, who the hell wants an open border for the world to spill in, for them to dump every person who's mentally ill or a convicted killer or a convict into our country? I mean, who wants that? How is it good for us? It's a killer for us. And you'll be seeing it for years to come. And that's why we got to get them all out. We're going to get them out. It's common sense. Under the Trump administration, we imposed extreme vetting and put on a powerful travel ban to keep radical Islamic terrorists and jihadists out of our country. Well, how did that work out? We had no problem, right? They knew they didn't, couldn't come here. They had that moniker. They couldn't come here. When I return to office, the travel ban is coming back even bigger than before and much stronger than before. We don't want people blowing up our shopping centers. We don't want people blowing up our cities. And we don't want people stealing our farms. So it's not going to happen. The United States will not be condemned to the same fate as is happening in France. And I told Macron this was going to happen when I first met him. I will also order our government to deny entry to all communists and Marxists. Look, we have Marxists, fascists, communists. They're pouring into our country. We are going to deny them access to our country. Now, the one problem is, what about all the ones we already have that happen to be politicians, okay? Nancy Pelosi, Schumer, Schiff. Schiff. How about Schiff? Shifty Schiff. Liar. What a liar. He created the Russia hoax. And then, let me tell you a bad person. So he knew it was a phony charge. It was created by crooked Hillary Clinton, who's now beautiful Hillary. It was created by beautiful Hillary Clinton and by the Democrats, DNC. And Schiff was right at the forefront. So he knew it was phony. And yet he left a room that he shouldn't have left, where they had a very confidential closed meeting, goes out to the press. Now, he knows this is a phony deal. It was made up. It was disinformation. So knowing this, he said, Donald Trump Jr. will go to jail because of what he has done with Russia. So everyone goes, click, click, click. I call my son. Are you all right? What's this going on? He says, I don't know, Dad. It was a phony deal. You know, they used that statement as a one-day deal. That was going to be the reason that Hillary lost the election in 2016, because she wasn't expected to lose, although I did, because we would have a room like this and they would have a room with three people in it. You know, that's usually a good sign. But that was used as a short-term little excuse for losing. Russia did it, Russia. And what happened is the fake news picked it up. And it went on for 2.5 years. Instead of one day, it went on for 2.5 years. But how about that? They say that my son is going to jail, and they know it's a phony. They know it didn't exist. And if you look at Durham, and if you look at, frankly, the IG, Horowitz, who did an incredible report, and he was appointed by President Obama. But if you take a look at their reports, they are lethal. They are so. And somebody said Durham could have been tougher. He didn't have to be tougher. He explained the whole thing was a hoax. And he explained to all these people are guilty as hell. And they did this to our country. But remember this. You had people going out there accusing other people for going. They should go to jail for this. And they knew that it was a phony story. It's a terrible thing. We have some terrible people. So when I say the Marxists from coming in, what about the ones we already have? I will immediately sign a new executive order to cut federal funding for any school pushing critical race theory, transgender insanity, and other inappropriate racial, sexual, or political content upon our children. Well, thank you very much. I will keep men out of women's sports. But I was a big wrestling place. Always have great wrestling. Dan Gable is. How good was Dan Gable? Even though he's a little older now, I'd go and I'd say, I'm going to be one of the greatest coaches. I'm going to take the women's wrestling team. And I'm going to go to Dan. I'm going to say, Dan, I want you to come out of a little retirement, a little old, but he'd be very tough. I'd say, Dan, I want you to wrestle on the team. Just say you're a woman, Dan. And let's get a few of your friends. We will have the greatest wrestling team in history, Dan. And don't we love him? Don't we love Dan Gable? You know who else is great? You know a great wrestler? Jim Jordan, a great wrestler. And he's the same way when he goes after these crooked people. He's up there, 1, 2, point, boom, boom, boom. Same way he wrestled. He was a NCAA champion. Congressman Jim Jordan, Ohio. He's fantastic. And Mark Wayne was a very, very tough cookie also. We have some great ones. This is something very special there. But I'll sign a law prohibiting child sexual mutilation in all 50 states. All 50 states. Can you imagine you even have to say that? Can you imagine? Think of that. I'm going to sign a law preventing child sexual mutilation. Who would think you have to make a statement? In other words, like people would say, 10 years ago, if you made that statement, they'd say, what the hell is, who would do that? It's very commonplace without even the parents' knowledge. And I will move heaven and earth to do something that if it's not done, we will soon not have a country, to protect our elections, because our elections are in bad shape. We need our borders and we need our elections. The rest of it will happen. But we need great, strong borders. We have the strongest border in the history. We need great, strong borders. And we need great elections and fair elections. A vast number of people felt that the election of 2020 was rigged and stolen. And you can't have a country that runs on that premise. And the fake news protects it. The fake news knows the real answer, but they protect it. You need great elections. And ideally, we'll have a goal of same-day voting with only paper ballots and voter ID. Like the old days. Like the old days. Many, many countries are going to that. Many countries, because anytime you send ballots through the mail, mail-in ballots, there's going to be a lot of bad things happen. And everybody knows that. Jimmy Carter, by the way, did a report years ago. Please do never do mail-in ballots. Too many people touching it. Too many. Where is it going? They send out millions, hundreds of millions of ballots. They go wherever the hell they go. Then they start pouring back. That's not an election. And everyone knows it. And frankly, the Democrats, 82% want voter ID. But the politicians don't want voter ID because if you have voter ID, it's much harder to cheat. That's the only thing. Because their policies are so bad. How can you get elected with, I want high interest rates, with, I want open borders, I want education that's all screwed up, I want everything to be woke and the opposite, like April Fool's Day? Stuff that it's like, is this April Fool's Day? But how do you do it with these policies? High interest rates, high taxes. They want to quadruple your taxes. Who the hell can get elected unless you cheat? You can get elected if you cheat. And they cheat. And they cheat like nobody has ever cheated before. But until then, Republicans must compete using every lawful means to win. That starts with getting everyone, you know, to participate in the Iowa caucuses. And I'm not forgetting Nebraska. We want you, Nebraska. But I'll be there soon. And remember, you must register. Right now, you have to register Republican. You have to register Republican. Well, that's a lot better than, you know, some states. You don't have to. You just go in and you vote. Look at Cheney. We knocked her out. She was tired. But Democrats were allowed to vote in the primary. The whole thing is crazy, and we still a record loss. You can text Iowa to 88022 to join our campaign. And a lot of people are joining. And the people that we have and the people that are working for us are just the job they're doing. Alex and everybody, they're fantastic, really fantastic. That's why we're doing so well in the state. Because we still, you know, we might have done a great job for Iowa and Nebraska. If you don't let the people know about it, bad things can happen. But they know about it. This is what we must do to restore our country to greatness. The USA is a mess. Our economy is crashing. Inflation is out of control. China, Russia, Iran, North Korea have formed together as a menacing and very destructive and very dangerous coalition, very dangerous. Weaponry, the power is different. These aren't two army tanks running back and forth shooting at each other. These are weapons that blow up massive portions of countries. Our currency is crashing, and we will soon no longer be the world standard at the rate we're going, which would be our greatest defeat in over 200 years. If we don't have the currency as the world standard, and the way we're going right now, and you take a look at vast chunks of the world refuse to use the dollar as the standard, it won't happen with me, not even a chance. Just like Russia would never have happened, they would have never invaded Ukraine, and China would not even have thought about raiding Taiwan. Not even a thought. If you took the five worst presidents in the history of the United States and added them up, they would not have done near the destruction to our country as Joe Biden and the Biden administration have done. That's true. Sadly. I wish it weren't true. We are a failing nation. We are a nation in decline. We are. I mean, you know, we had the Keep America Great tag, and I said, but you can't use that. It doesn't work. CAG. So we continue with MAGA, because we love MAGA. Make America Great Again. We can't say keep America great because America right now is not respected anywhere. And there are those that would say America is no longer great. We couldn't use it, but we will make it great again. And now these radical left lunatics want to interfere with our elections by using law enforcement. That's the way they want to cheat this time. It's totally corrupt, and we can't let it happen. 2024 is our final battle. It's our final battle. With you at my side, we will demolish the deep state. We will expel the warmongers from our government. They want to go to war with everybody. You know why? Because the value of those missiles at $1 million a missile. They keep making those missiles. Who cares how many people die and how dangerous they make it for our country? Because missiles can also come back in our direction. Remember that. And I see that through strength. Don't forget, I rebuilt the entire military of the United States of America and created Space Force. So I know. But I like peace through strength as opposed to using the strength. We will drive out the globalists. We will cast out the communists, Marxists, and fascists. We will throw off the sick political class that hates our country. We will rout the fake news media. We will defeat Joe Biden. And we will drain the swamp once and for all. The great silent majority is rising like never before. And under our leadership, the forgotten man and woman will be forgotten no longer. With your help, your love, and your vote, we will win Iowa, we will win Nebraska, and we will make America great again. Thank you very much. God bless you. God bless everybody. God bless you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. So they said, sir, at the end, could you take some questions? I'd love to do it. But, you know, you hate to finish on a beautiful high note. Everyone's going crazy standing. And then you start taking questions and people fall asleep. Should I take a few or not? Should I just leave? You ever hear, like, Elton John said, he'll finish, the place is going wild, they're going crazy. He comes for an encore, they go crazy, they want more. Comes for another encore, they go crazy. Does one more, and it's a dud. And everybody leaves and says, that wasn't that good, was it? So oftentimes you're better off, you leave on a high note. But I said I would do that. So why don't we take a few questions, and then... Sure, ma'am, please. Hi.
My husband is up there. We are Iowa farmers and also small business owners. So I would like to know what you're going to do for small businesses.
Well, we are the big thing, the biggest thing, bigger than the tax cuts, which were the biggest ever, is we cut regulations. And we cut regulations for small business, the likes of which you had businesses that couldn't survive. It was just impossible for them to survive. We cut regulations more than any administration in the history of our country times four, and it was really rocky. Now, slowly, they're starting to add those things that we cut back, but we'll get them out very fast. We know every one of them. We'll get them back very fast. And I know that you've seen a big difference, you said before, but I know that you've seen a big difference between now and what it was a few years ago. We've never had an economy like we had just 3 years ago. It was unbelievable. And frankly, this economy is not doing well, but the reason it's doing okay is it's running on the fumes of what we built. But those fumes are running out, and they're running out fast. And it's not going to be a pretty picture. Thank you very much. Great question. Question? Yeah, please. Somebody over there?
Sure.
Yes.
I'd like to know.
Yeah. Well, you know we're working on that. And you know we had a plan to totally... it's such a ridiculous situation, isn't it? But we had a plan, and we would have instituted that plan, and it was all ready. But we will get it back. If we win, that's going to be taken care of. That will be one of the easy things we do. Question, please. Hello.
President Trump, just back from Yuma, Arizona.
Good.
They love your wall.
Yeah.
One problem. It's not finished.
Yeah.
And the fentanyl is creeping into our country. What would you do?
So... I always said, build a wall. They said, don't build it. I had some problems, even with a couple of rhinos in the Republican Party, as you know. And I ended up saying, look, here's the story. I'm taking it from the military. And I said, because I view it as national defense. This is an invasion. And I built hundreds of miles of wall and had everything completed. When everything was completed, we noticed that people were pouring into other areas. So we were all set. The wall was bought. The wall was ready to be put up. Would have been done in a period of 3 weeks. And that's when we realized these people actually believe in open borders. They refuse to put up the wall. You know that because Arizona was one of the places. But we will get that finished. But more importantly, we had a great deals with Mexico, stay in Mexico. People weren't coming in. We had it. That last period of time between the wall, you know, I got 28,000 Mexican soldiers guarding our territory. I went to the president of Mexico. I said, you have to give us soldiers. They said, you have to be kidding. Why would we ever do that? I said, because you have people pouring through Mexico. You have to. And they said, we will not do that. And other things, stay in Mexico. They wouldn't agree. They wouldn't agree to any of this stuff. And he's a great guy, but he, you know, why would he? And he wouldn't. And they actually, their representatives laughed and smiled at me. They said, we will not do that. A woman in the State Department, she worked on Mexico for 25 years, and she was very good. But she said, they'll never approve that. We've been asking for that stuff for years. I said, I'll make you a bet.
And she said, well, you're not going to win. We've been asking for this for years. And she was a serious person. And so I said to her, I'll tell you what, it's 100%. And the top person in Mexico outside of the president came in representing Mexico and the president. I said, here's what we need. I said, give me a list of my people and the Border Patrol and ICE. These people are incredible. Brandon Judd and Tom Homan, who's fantastic. They have such incredible people. I said, give me a list of the 10 things that you want from Mexico and the other states, but in this case, because it's on the southern border of Mexico. And they gave me a list of things that are not even possible to write down, let alone get. I presented it to the representative, top guy in Mexico, and he laughed. I said, why are you laughing? He said, because we could never do this. He said, you want us to give you 28,000 soldiers free of charge. 28,000 soldiers. Mr. President, you must be kidding. I said, no, I'm not kidding. People are pouring in through your country, and they're destroying our country, and you don't care about it, but I care about it. He said, here's the story. You're going to give it to us, right? No, I'm not. I said, yes, you are, and here's why you're going to. Because on Monday morning at 9 o'clock, I'm putting a 25% tariff and tax on all of your goods, including all the car industry that you took away over the last 30 years from the United States. 32% of our car manufacturing is in Mexico because we had stupid leaders that allowed it to go. And they send in cars with no tax, no nothing. I said, starting Monday morning at 9 o'clock, we're going to put a 25% tariff on every single car that comes into our country and every other product made in Mexico that comes into our country. And you will pay that tariff. And that is far more money for us than the cost of 28,000 soldiers. Mr. President, sir, I'd like to leave the room and make a phone call. And he came back. I know who he called. The president. He said, Mr. President, we have decided that we would like to provide you with 28,000 soldiers on your border. We will agree to remain in Mexico. We will agree to all of the other conditions that you have asked. And we hope you're happy with us. We love you very much. And that was the end of it. And I got things. And then as soon as these clowns come in, they gave up remain in Mexico. They gave up all of this stuff. I mean, it wasn't easy to get. It was smart. It wasn't easy to get. We had the safest border in the history of our country. And now we have the worst border anywhere in the world, probably at any time. And I always say it, no third world country that use sticks and stones to stop them would allow what's happening to our country to happen to them, where millions of people are pouring across the border and we have no idea who they are. But I do know this, they are terrorists, they are from prisons, and they are from mental institutions. And it's horrible. Not to even mention all of the things going on with the human traffickers, which is, by the way, trafficking in women, because 95% of it is women, maybe even more than that. And we had it virtually at the lowest point we've ever been before. And these fools, these just horrible, stupid fools with either no common sense or they're truly evil people, allowed all of that stuff to go away, and now we have millions of people every month pouring into our country, and we have no idea. You have to see New York. You have to see our cities. They're pouring in. They're putting up tents in Central Park. What's happened to our country is so horrible. San Francisco was one of our greatest cities. You have to see San Francisco today. But many, Chicago, look at Chicago. Look at what's happening to our country. These people are either very evil or very, it's the one thing that nobody can explain is why they do it. Why? Why do they do it? They are people that try and defend what's happening. They fight you all the way. They want to put you in prison if you even question them. Our country is being ruined. Our country is being destroyed by probably very sick, very evil people. Nobody can understand who would want to have a border where the whole world is allowed to pour in. And then they announced that we will give you, if you come to America, free education, free hospitals, free this, free that. We don't have any room for, we don't have anything. It's impossible. Everybody has a heart. We want to take care of everybody. But the whole world is coming into our country. It's not sustainable. Our country is a mess. We will turn our country around. We will make America great again. Thank you very much, everybody. Thank you. Thank you very much.